Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vision and Voices, a monthly podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your community. I am James Nguyen, your host, and today, as we continue to celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month, we are honored to be here with Ms. Celeste James and Dr. Amit Patel, both of Kaiser Permanente. How are you guys today?
Good morning. Doing fine.
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Before we get into our interview, I want to make sure I have the official titles correct. And Ms. Celeste James, you are the Director of Community Health.
That's right.
Working primarily with Kaiser Permanente in the outreach program.
Yes, I do community-based health for Kaiser Permanente.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Amit, you are a service chief, but also psychiatrist.
That's correct.
Right. And so your role is a little bit different. What, can you explain that?
It is. My role is as a psychiatrist where I see patients or at Northwest Medical Center in D.C., but also as service chief of the Behavioral Health Department in D.C. and suburban Maryland, oversee all the services across our service area for both psychiatry, psychology, addiction medicine, chemical dependency services.
Great. And all of those things fall under behavioral health, which fall under the scope of Mental Health Awareness Month, and hence why you're here today. Mm-hmm. So you said something interesting. You're working in Northwest Community?
Northwest Medical Center. It's one of our medical centers that's based out of D.C.
Okay. Now, when I think of Kaiser Permanente, and I'm not sure I'm alone in this, I think of Kaiser Permanente as a benefits provider. Don't really think of them as an organization that does outreach, right? With you, Celeste. And certainly don't think of them as an organization that actually sees patients. So I'm more thinking of them as like an HMO provider or of sorts. So tell me about Kaiser Permanente. Tell the audience about it, and you know, why is it this organization that kind of does all these things?
I can take that on. There's a few aspects of what we do that make us very unique. We not only provide the coverage, but also the care. So as you mentioned, you know, the benefits, the coverage is there. But we also have a whole team of physicians that provide the care for our members. We have we're very mission-driven. We're really big on quality, access, service. We operate out of a multidisciplinary integrated model of care with an electronic medical record as well, too. So anyone who comes and sees us, any specialist, any primary care doctor, we're able to very easily coordinate that member's care.
And so you're providing coverage and care. Is that a new phenomenon, or there are a lot of companies out there that do this, or are you guys unique in this way?
Kaiser Permanente is unique in that way. Kaiser Permanente is the nation's leading integrated delivery system.
Wow.
And we have, for 70 years or so, been providing health care that integrates also health coverage. We serve here in the Washington, D.C. metro area. We call it the Mid-Atlantic States region. Mm-hmm. We serve approximately 700,000 members. And those members come to us for care in about 30 medical centers. And they also are covered by our insurance. And so you get everything. It's like one-stop shopping. It's a great experience that we try to provide for all of our members to ensure that they get the best quality and affordable health care, but also that they are able to go out into to their communities and find health supports in order to support their health and well-being beyond our medical centers.
Now, where does the outreach piece come in?
So our mission is to provide high quality, affordable health care and to improve health in the communities that we serve. And so to do that, we invest dollars, many, many dollars in the last four or five years, we've invested about $480 million throughout this Washington, D.C. region.
So when you say many, many, you probably need to add another many. Yes, many.
That's right.
Many dollars.
A lot of that is in our charitable health care programs, but much of it, about $18 million of that, is in grants, donations, sponsorships, programs, and the like to support our communities, to ensure that people have access to healthy choices in their neighborhoods.
A lot of the folks who listen to our podcast are involved with nonprofits. So when you said you give out grants, people want to know what that what that means. How do they get one of those grants?
That's right. It varies, but we have periods during the year, twice a year, where we have what we call a request for proposals, where we invite organizations to submit proposals to get funded by Kaiser Permanente. They are typically guided by our strategies. They're guided by our community health needs assessment. Right. So we assess what the needs are, and then we decide where we're going to invest. And then we outreach to organizations that do great work in the community that can do the work with grant funding from Kaiser Permanente. So it's generally by invitation only, but we are interested in all organizations that are doing work specifically around social determinants of health, such as economic security, ensuring that people have access to good paying jobs, that they have access to being trained for jobs, and also mental health and behavior is also another area of focus. And of course, healthcare access. We want to make sure that everybody has access to healthcare.
So that last point, you want to make sure everyone has access to healthcare. And Kaiser Permanente being one who provides both the coverage and also the care.
That's right.
That seems to go right along with your mention. Can you talk about the numbers of folks that you serve who have mental health disorders or illnesses, and you know, what are you seeing out in the community? Last episode, we had someone here who talked about there being about 7 million children who were affected by mental health. What kind of numbers are you seeing out in the community?
Well, what I can talk about is what we're seeing nationally. We're definitely seeing about 1 in 5 Americans have a mental health condition or a disorder. So it's very common for any single American to have to know friends or family that might have a mental health condition. So it's quite prevalent. It's also quite prevalent in young adults as well. But it's not just young adults, not just kids, adult children, adolescents. It's across all ages, even including older adults as well too. So that's why this is really important. Important to us. It's something that's quite prevalent, and there needs to be a significant awareness of it. You know, I think one of the things we're still battling, I think it's getting better over the years, over the decades, let's say, is actually stigma associated with mental health. And that's why this year, Kaiser Permanente has an initiative. It's a public health initiative called the Find Your Words program. And there's such a website you can go to. It's findyourwords.org. It's a nice little website. And what it does is it talks about the stigma of mental health illness, specifically depression, and just talking about it, just being aware of it, it exists, and that it's so common and people are not alone.
Now, is depression the most common form of mental health illness that people have?
It's probably up there. Yeah, it's probably one of the top three. There's a wide range of mental illnesses one can have. Depression is definitely up there.
And what does that look like for a person who might have depression or may have someone in their family who is depressed or they suspect might be depressed?
Sure. Depression is real, as high blood pressure, diabetes, asthma, it exists. Depression can present in different ways. I can kind of tell you maybe one common way it can present. Someone can have symptoms lasting for weeks or months where every day they may feel sad, down, can't get out of bed, can't get going, lose pleasure, interest in life activities, changes in cognition like focus, memory, changes in sleep and appetite. And all these symptoms together can affect really negatively affect one's overall quality of life and functioning.
Now, is it all of those symptoms together or could a person have one or two or a few of those symptoms and still be considered depressed?
Certainly. You don't need all of those symptoms. Right. You need a certain set of symptoms. But it's not just the symptoms. It's overall quality and functioning that we really look at. Because someone can have changes in these symptoms I mentioned, but if it doesn't really affect their quality of life or functioning overall, then that's something different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of like substance abuse, where sometimes a person can be a functional alcoholic, so to speak, where it's not really affecting them, but it's, you know, they're drinking every day and probably drinking more than they should.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they're making it to work every day. They're not being abusive to other family members, and they're not doing anything to get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sort of the same thing? I know.
Yeah, to some degree. It's a spectrum, you know.
Right.
But like you mentioned, like drinking, for example, there's certainly like unhealthy drinking where maybe right in this moment you may not have any difficulties or problems, but it may eventually catch up to you.
Right.
Where your liver gives out, and then it can cause problems down the road.
Right, right. So in any of those symptoms is something that someone should be aware of and something mm-hmm. that they should look to have, you know, checked out by a physician mm-hmm. and also a psychiatrist. And how does that process work? Do you go to your physician first and then mm-hmm. go to the psychiatrist, or can someone just kind of walk into a psychiatrist's office or a counselor? How does that process work?
I can tell you the process within our organization, Kaiser Permanente, in the medical group. Mm-hmm. We're self-referral. So if someone has a relationship with their primary care doctor and wants to talk to their primary care doctor about what they're experiencing, it could be symptoms of depression, that's a great place to start. But we also, anyone can call anytime and make an appointment themselves with a psychiatrist or a therapist as well.
So it's nice. Very easy.
It is very easy.
All right. And it's obviously confidential.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't have to be afraid that someone's going to find out that you might get fired from their job or anything like that, that they can call. And is there a mm-hmm. phone number or?
Yes, there is a central phone number for those, for our members.
Okay.
They can call anytime. Right.
And in the Maryland, Washington, D.C. area, how many people do you serve?
We have about 700,000 members.
Mm-hmm. 700,000
members. And growing. We've really been growing over the past 3-4 years.
Right. And I want to ask you, Celeste, as you're doing, because sometimes with your community events, you might have a mobile medical van or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yes.
Is that a place where someone can maybe not be diagnosed? I don't know if that's mm-hmm. possible, and you'll let me know.
Sure.
But at least maybe be spotted for some of the symptoms to have an understanding that maybe I need to go to my physician or go see a counselor to have this checked out further. I might be depressed. I might be bipolar or something else.
Well, I think Dr. Patel can talk more about the breadth of services that we provide on our mobile van. I know we do screenings, basic screenings for glucose levels, for high blood pressure, for, you know, weight, BMI, and so forth. But I know our physicians are engaged on that van, depending upon what the event is, and we do different kinds of screenings. And I don't know if I would consider it diagnoses. Yes, I guess diagnoses as well. But I'm going to defer to Dr. Patel on that particular question. But I just want to backtrack for one second because you asked about data, and I like to share data.
Great.
And I want to share just what I read recently, and that is that 1 in 5 adults in the United States lives with a mental health condition, and that includes about 14.8 million adults who live with major depression.
Wow.
I also read that approximately 20% of youth ages 13 to 18 have experienced or will experience a mental health condition. So as Dr. Patel said, it is very serious. And Kaiser Permanente takes it very seriously. I like to say that Kaiser Permanente cares not only about what's the matter with you, but what matters to you. Because people's mental health conditions are really driven by what's happening around them and their surroundings and their neighborhood and so forth. So from my perspective, we work quite extensively, or increasingly, I should say, on mental health as a condition that stems from trauma and other kinds of experiences people have within their neighborhoods. So that's the perspective that I bring, is that that mental health stems from many different conditions, and very often it stems from conditions that exist from childhood many times in communities where of low income and communities that don't have the resources to provide meaningful living for people.
Right. That's interesting. Our last guest said essentially the same thing, that, you know, low-income folks who live in low-income areas, or maybe if there's abuse in the home or some sort of trauma, a loss of a loved one or something like that, that could trigger mental health. And that really, to your point, Dr. Patel, is that that's nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that you have any real control over, but it's something that can be treated. And let me ask you, oftentimes with mental health, does a person have the capability to overcome? In other words, can they go and get treatment, and then, you know, if they're getting treatment for depression, then 6 months later, 3 months later, what have you, then they're no longer depressed. Can that happen, and how does that process work?
Oh, that can certainly happen. Yeah. Now, major depression is very common. It can be a recurrent condition where you can have exacerbation of your symptoms several times during your lifetime, but you may not be. It may not occur. That's why getting early treatment is important, and always having check-ins in some sort of way, but really and self-monitoring and self-care. That's, I think it's really, really important. It's not only just what happens in the office and interaction with like physicians and other healthcare providers in the buildings, also outside of that as well too. One of the very another unique thing, just to add, we have been doing is utilizing our integrated delivery care model. One way we communicate with our patients is through secure messaging. It's secure, confidential, and is part of the medical record. So it's a great way of outreaching to those who might be having challenges or difficulties. We also have screening measures that we send electronically. So it's a great way of communicating. We also do video visits as well, too, which is really great, really nice. It's very convenient as well. And let's say you just cannot make it in physically, due to a variety of situations, maybe work, or maybe you're quite ill, it's very easy for us to reach out and do a video visit from the convenience of your own home or wherever you may be.
Great. I want to take a short break here and then come back and talk a little bit more about the community outreach of Kaiser Permanente. So thank you for coming out. But before we take our break, could you please tell us the website again for Find Your Voice?
Yes, it's findyourwords.org.
Findyourwords.org.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. This is James Wynn, and you're listening to Vision and Voices. Welcome back, everyone. This is Vision and Voices, and I am James Wynn, your host. If you'd like to get in touch with us at Vision and Voices, you can reach out to voachesapeake.org. Now, we're back. And Ms. Celeste James, I want to ask you, why does Kaiser Permanente do community outreach?
At Kaiser Permanente, we are deeply committed to ensuring that our communities can be the healthiest communities in the nation. And our aim is to do this by creating equitable opportunity for people to live well. I mentioned before, when you asked me about grants and the kinds of investments that we make, I mentioned things like jobs and job readiness, college and career readiness for youth, economic security. Those are maybe odd things for a healthcare company
dedicated to. People might not think that's related to health, but you'll tell us how it is.
Absolutely related to health. I mean, there is so much that depends on wellness. So much rests on wellness outside of the medical facilities. Our healthcare and providing the best healthcare we can possibly provide is essential. But we also have to think about the community settings and the conditions in communities where people live. And we do that. We do that regularly. We believe that health is healthy places to walk. We talked earlier about the construction that's happening right around your building to create bicycle paths and places where people can move around easily and be physically active. It's grocery stores in neighborhoods so people can get healthy food. It's access to parks and playgrounds. It's access to meaningful living wage jobs. It's access to education. All of those things are what creates and shapes health. And so we have to dedicate ourselves to that in addition to our medical care provision. in order to create healthy communities, in order to create healthy people.
Right, right. Now, it seems like health is a thing that you learn over a period of time. You know, kids like candy, mm-hmm. right? And you don't realize that mm-hmm. you probably shouldn't eat candy every single day until you get a little bit older. Mm-hmm. And you also talked about Kaiser Permanente being interested in children being a well person, but mm-hmm. also going into college, getting good education.
That's right.
There are studies out there that talk about what you eat helps with how academics, you perform in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about Kaiser's interest in youth and how that education piece is coming together related to health?
Yes, yes. So for at least the last 10 years, we have been doing extensive work around healthy eating and active living. So creating the conditions in neighborhoods, in schools, and other places where people exist every day to ensure that people have access to healthy foods and physical activity. We've worked with organizations like the Alliance for a Healthier Generation, who go into schools and they create wellness councils, and they help schools to identify the gaps in health in the school setting and to work toward improving those things. In recent years, in the last couple of years, we've gone beyond healthy eating and active living and really looked at some of the real root core causes of poor health. And that turns out to be, as I said, economic insecurity. When we did our community health needs assessment, we found the number one health issue in this region is economic insecurity.
Wow.
And that we wouldn't necessarily think of as a health issue, but it is, because one's ability to make livable wages and to have a meaningful existence in the society greatly impacts one's health. And so we believe that as a healthcare organization, we have to work on both of those things, both one's physical health, but also mental health and social health, I guess is what I would call that. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that people are socially connected within their neighborhoods, that they are connected to opportunity, and that children, from the time they're small, have an opportunity to see their futures and to be hopeful about their futures. Right. And so that's what we invest in.
And see themselves as a healthy person in the future.
That's right.
Right? Because that's important as well. Oftentimes in neighborhoods where folks are economically depressed, they don't often see that. They don't see, and, you know, there's not a lot of professionals in the neighborhood and not a lot of healthy people. So, you know, you get this idea that that's what my life is going to be like
when
I get to be an adult. And you guys are working to change that view.
We are. We're working in schools and we're working in neighborhoods to try to change that view. And I mentioned earlier this idea of trauma, that there's a very real thing called childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And it is not just physical trauma, but it's mental trauma. It's just living in poverty creates trauma for children. Being homeless creates trauma. And they go into their adult life carrying that trauma. So we want to help to stem some of the effects of that trauma on young people by helping them through school to be more equipped to leave school and ready for a job or for a career or for college. And right. So that's we put a lot of emphasis on that.
A lot of the stuff you're working on is often the same type of work, the same type of areas that nonprofits try to support as well. I know Volunteers of America is an organization that is very interested in folks being employed, very interested in affordable housing, very interested in eliminating homelessness and working with folks with mental health and, you know, a wide range of spectrums that affect folks who are economically depressed. Are there partnerships there for Kaiser Permanente? Are there opportunities for nonprofits to partner with you? Do you have existing partnerships?
We do. We have many, many partnerships. Mm-hmm. Many of our grantees we consider also partners. I mentioned our college and career readiness work. We are working currently with Venture Philanthropy Partners in Prince George's County. They have an excellent program called Ready for Work, Champions for Career and College Ready Graduates.
Wow.
And that's going to graduate 3,000 individual students at the end of 3 years out into college or to career.
Wow.
It's an excellent program. We also are funding and supporting something called Pathways in Technology Early College High Schools, PTEC for short. Mm-hmm. And that's a program that we have in a school in Baltimore City. And that's an interesting program because it's a six-year program that allows students to prepare not to get through high school and then go to 2 years through an associate's degree. So each student, there are 50 students in this school who are in the PTEC program, and they'll graduate with an associate's degree. And not only that, they'll graduate with training specifically to work for an organization like Kaiser Permanente. So we're investing in training them for jobs, but not just any job, a job that will allow them to come and interview with Kaiser Permanente when they've graduated and potentially to be hired. So it's
That's amazing.
To find ways to create not only the pipeline, but the pipeline specifically in, with the skills for the organizations that are in people's neighborhoods.
Right, right. And like you said, not just any job.
Right.
You know, working for Kaiser Permanente, working in the tech field, that's almost like a dream job,
right.
You know? And in a lot of these neighborhoods, oftentimes the youth are focused so much on becoming professional athletes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we all know that that's a one in a million chance. You know, not many kids, you, just moving from playing little league to high school, you know, more than half the kids drop off, and then high school to college, even less imagine themselves or realize that goal. But being involved as a technology professional, it's real. It can happen.
That's right.
And you can make really good money.
That's right.
And technology, you can make enough money that you can move out of this economically depressed
exactly.
neighborhood.
Exactly.
Or even stay there and help build it up. Like you can be
yes,
a difference
maker.
Yes,
to be civically connected to your community as well. Yeah. I want to just quickly mention that we also have a program called the Youth Leadership Program, mm-hmm. and currently that's in Baltimore City, but we hope to expand that beyond Baltimore into maybe Prince George's or Washington, D.C. And that program is teaching, engaging about 20 students in the Baltimore City Public School System and helping them with their soft skills. So to prepare them again for life with not just their technical skills, but their soft skills, presentation, showing up well,
so
showing
important.
Up on time,
yes.
having their physical presence perfected or confidence,
yes.
all of those things that we consider to be important for, again, job and career readiness and life readiness.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like to say? We just have a few minutes here, so I'll start with you, Dr. Patel.
There's a few things. You know, we're very big on preventative care. You know, earlier you had mentioned about our mobile health vehicle. It is really important that we do that because let's say someone has not had their blood pressure checked in a very long time. Their blood pressure could be elevated, and that could be the first place that we pick up on this
right.
and realize, oh, somebody has hypertension. We need to treat this now. We can get you connected so it doesn't become a problem down the road. Preventive care is very big. Wellness, mm-hmm. I know we had mentioned real briefly about wellness. We've had several events over the past year in December. These are events for our members. We had Mind Body Wellness Day,
mm-hmm.
a full day of looking at about self-care, things we can do on our own so we can be physically and mentally well, yoga, meditation, seated massages, looking at the value of good sleep, eating healthy habits. It's really important as part of total health care. We also recently had Thriving After 60 Day for our older adults who are
wow.
members as well, too. And what are some of the unique aspects of that as well?
Right.
Positive challenges, negatives as well, too, and what to do to keep moving forward and staying healthy.
Right. That's great. So you've had preventative care, maintaining wellness and things that people can do on their own, you know, not having to go to a doctor, not having to be told they can actually do those things. Anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, sir? I'll just close by saying that we are we really exist in this community work with great partnership. We are dedicated to having good partners because we can't do this work alone. And we also, I don't think we mentioned that we have our own employees who serve as partners to us in volunteering in communities. Last year, they volunteered about 5,000 hours in communities.
Important.
So that's all part
yes.
of our community health work and how we work in partnership with communities and with our employees.
Great. And can you give me your websites again, or give the audience your websites and contact, how we can get in touch?
Sure, absolutely. So for our community benefit department, it's kp.org/community benefit. And that's where people can also find out about our grant making and our sponsorships and so forth.
And the website for the mental health?
It's findyourwords.org.
Good, because I would have said find your voice, and that's not correct. And this is James Wynn. We're on Vision and Voices. Thank you for listening in with us, and we hope to see you back next month. Thank you.